Romans chapter 3. Universal corruption. Man's corrupt words, part 3. In Romans 3:13 we read, "Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive, the venom of asps is under their lips." Venom kills. Words can kill. They can kill a person's spirit, his enthusiasm, his hope. They can embitter. They can create resentment, hatred, anger. They can make people stumble worse than they already do. They can add to the drowning pool of human chaos and lostness a drop at a time. Every time we open our mouths and spew forth poison, it kills something. All people do it. We all slay fellow human beings with cutting, biting, depersonalizing remarks. What, not you? Then do you think them? Recall Jesus' words in Matthew 5:22-23. "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever will say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So important are words, and so severe the judgment against the misuse of them, that if they, or anything else we do, cause one of his little ones to stumble, it would be better for us to have a millstone around our necks and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 18:6. Or we can read in Matthew 18:7, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it's necessary that temptations come, but woe to the man by whom the temptation comes." When venom is spoken into God's creation, then it automatically tempts people to sin. It aggravates them. It adds to the general level of anger, resentment, and the desire for vengeance. The unregenerate do this automatically all the time without a second thought. In a sense, they know no better. But we ought not to be so found. Instead, when we encounter venom that would have exacerbated the sin in our once unregenerate hearts, as people in whom the Spirit of God now dwells, we ought to take the sting out of the venom by receiving the bite and forgiving the biter. After all, the bite of the snake can no longer harm us anyway if we are trusting in Christ. See John 3:14-15. We ought to do so by praying for those who despitefully use us, by regarding ourselves as having died with Christ and allowing his love to cover the hurt in us. As far as the lost go, you can try to think of exceptions. People who are gracious, kindly, soft-spoken and temperate, even though they are unsaved. There are such people. No one denies it. Christ himself, meeting Nathanael, said in John 1:47, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." To find anyone like that was remarkable enough for the Lord to comment on it. However, he was not without guile in the same sense that Jesus was, but only by comparison with other fallen men. Guile didn't govern or motivate him, but Nathanael was nevertheless a sinner by nature, like all men. His relative guilelessness, be it ever so much better than most of his fellow men, still fell infinitely short of the heavenly standard.